Howdy, stranger.
Here we are.
I mean, it's been a while, friends.
It's been a while, but we're back.
We're back. We took a month of July off to celebrate our nation's birth.
That's not really what we did.
summer break. We're back.
And we have our shirt.
Yeah, this is the new thing. This is the theme. We didn't pick this for the theme. Because we didn't get the shirts because of the theme. We did the theme because of the shirts. And this is
and here we are. But we're even ineffective at showing you the shirts.
Yeah, because I can sit further back so you can see all of me, but no one wants to see that.
Yeah. So I don't know. We can't even do that. But good morning, everybody. It's great to hear from all of you.
Lots of people saying good morning. I'm just going to pick CK's because CK says, fuck yeah, good morning.
Yeah.
That's the way to say good morning. Right there.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, speaking of swearing, Julia Dinsmore, who's our friend, is often on here, posted, I thought the most hilarious thing about swearing last week, which she said that it was a little, you know, meme, whatever, that said, when I'm around people that don't swear, I feel like I'm not in a safe space.
I totally
and I was like, that's it. I totally feel
and
that.
It's not even like people might think we're joking. Maybe you, I don't know. I'm not no, like, I'm, no, it's just like, no, I don't trust joking. It.
I know.
It's like,
well, I feel nervous. Like, I'm going to blurt something out and it'll be bad.
Yeah. Got to walk on eggshells with these non-cussers.
I know.
Before we dive in, we should introduce ourselves.
Oh, right. I forgot about that already. Yeah. it's been a month. I already forgot. That was our little.
Yeah. And mine's, there's a little more backstory to mine. So people, you can call me Mark if you want, but I'm trying to go by Ash.
Right.
Trying it out. So people who know me on Facebook know, like last week I came out as genderqueer and pansexual, and so I'm part of my transitioning is picking a different name. But you know what? I've been wanting a different name my whole life because Mark is right up there with Bob. I'm sorry for the Bobs out there. I've always wanted a nickname, and so there's a lot of meaning that I'm not going to go. I wrote a long ass post about why Ash. So people can go to my page, which is under M. Ash Van Steenwyck, to read about that if they want. But I'm Ash Van Steenwyck. I direct the Center for Prophetic Imagination.
Yeah, and I'm Daniel Wolpert, direct Mike at the Minnesota Institute of Contemplation and Healing. And, you know, one of the things, and you actually, you did not mention this in your post about your name, but one of the things that I was thinking of is that, there is a very long tradition in almost every spiritual tradition that when one kind of embraces one's spiritual vocation, you change your name, you get a new name. And that's, you know, very, very common thing. And
that's part of my, just,
we forgot.
I did a whole desert. Like, I have all sorts of conflicted feelings about the appropriate of nature of doing something like a vision quest, but I did one of those things, and I had a squirrel come talk to me, a ground squirrel, because they don't have tree squirrels where I was at, this desert canyon.
No.
And I had an experience about the world tree. So I'm a tree person, which is an ash. So like a lot of my name is drawing from Nordic mythology, but also more than that. It's not like I'm not a neo-pagan, it's just, but it captivates me. So both of your pronouns, good question. I will answer fine to he him, but I prefer they, them. And right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I go by he pronouns. But yeah. Well, and I think that at some point we should do a whole thing on this, because there's a lot to say
about this. And we'll dabble in it, because, you know, we're talking about angry and ineffective and deconstruction and stuff. Yes. Queering is often interpreted that way, and I'm sure I'll talk about it. But yeah, we should have more of a dedicated space.
Yeah.
But we're talking about angry and ineffective this week.
Angry and ineffective. And so for those of you who aren't aware, this was a label that we were given that, you know, was supposed to be derogatory. And in our culture is derogatory. I mean, this is like the two worst things you can be. But you know what? Before we get into it, we should talk about the shirts. We were also going to talk about that. So we got these shirts. Thanks to Ash. You put them together, got them for us.
Well, I designed them and somebody else made them. I did not stitch these. Yeah. I did not put them together in that sense.
Oh, shoot. I thought you like harvested everything, wove them. Oh, well, then the shirts suck. But anyway.
So far. Anyway. Yeah.
Anyway, we got the shirts. And I posted a picture about the shirt because I was so excited and I was missing transition. And all these people were like, I want these shirts. And we would be happy to work with anyone who wishes to, I don't know, create some little ineffective marketplace for these shirts. So you could message us, and I don't know what all that would entail, but see, angry and, right, we're also ineffective. See, we're ineffective even at showing the shirts.
Yeah, I was asking.
It's a perfect... So anyway, if somebody is super excited about doing the shirts, and I know that Julia in Oakland suggested a shirt maker, other people wanted, you know, different styles. Somebody wanted a French cut women's shirt. I don't even know what that is, but
French cut? Is that a cooking thing?
I don't know. It's
Julianning, you know, carrots.
Yeah, something like that. I'm just not like fashion knowledgeable.
The backstory, you know, like what we talked about before, is, you know, someone who's more involved in church marketing basically unloaded a bit on us, and it's a long story, but said we're alienating, we don't really have a effective and clear brand, and we're just, just angry. Angry and ineffective.
Effective.
Right. And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess, you know, I kind of am angry and ineffective. I can own that because I'm not productive in a capitalist mode. And I do seem angry to somebody who's content with the way things are. Like, I don't know how you can be a righteous person in our world and not come off as angry. Although it's not like I'm seething and lack love and compassion and creativity and generativity. Most people don't think of me.
You're not out in the backyard like breaking rocks all day.
Well,
because you're so mad.
I'm not.
No, you're not. Don't lie.
I'm not. And I think radical people get accused of being angry a lot because it's like, why you gotta make me feel bad about my chocolate being from slaves? Like, oh, I guess I come off as angry. Like that's kind of what it. And so what it does is someone who's generally content with the status quo thinks someone who is radical or even kind of radical or progressive seems nitpicky. And nitpicky is like some sort of weird way of being angry. So, but at the same time, we do know people who get caught up in anger and trapped in it in a way that is not generative, is toxic, and not only injures themselves, but others. So there is this kind of question, like, on the one hand, there's the positive vibes only spirituality crew who, like, will say that there's no real... I've had people in my spiritual direction class, we had a lot of people, the general consensus was that anger has no part in contemplative practice.
Yeah.
I'm like, what, really? What do you?
Oh yeah, I mean, I run across this all the time. We are taught that anger is bad. I mean, we're just taught that anger is bad, right? And you know, when I posted the picture of the shirt, there were a number of friends of mine who are Black women who got on there who are like, oh yeah, I'm told that I'm this all the time. And I was just talking to somebody yesterday who was like, well, I don't want to just be angry. That's not effective. And they actually said that. They didn't know anything about these shirts, but that was the construction, right? And I think that is this construction that is given to us all the time, that, you know, anger is a bad emotion, sort of ignores the fact that it just is an emotion. And then if you're, yeah, just like ranting and then you're not getting something done, I guess. And so then that's really bad. And, you know, to my mind, what it immediately conjures up is like, okay, you know, if you're mad on the factory floor that there's some injustice going on, like, you're not going to just keep doing your widgets. And so you have to just sort of shut up and keep going, right? We got a lot of comments coming in.
A lot of them coming in. Okay, make sure I don't miss anything, because a lot of them came in all at once. Yes, these are kind of new glasses. People have commented on my glasses. Right. These are not new, but they're progressive lenses for like old people, like bifocals. And I just resisted wearing them for a long time.
Okay.
So now you know. Initiation into a vocation or life stage invokes new name and even title. I think there's something to that. Like, it'd be good to have a conversation about rites of passage and life stages and how there's a lack of that in the West in a way that is not bound up in capitalism. Mm-hmm. That'd be fascinating to talk about sometime. Gus writes, there's a number of online t-shirt producers where you just upload the template and they will make as people order them. Yeah, and that's kind of where I got this from, one like Custom Ink. It's the website. But it'd be good to have it somehow a little bit more easily findable for folks. Yeah. So if anybody's really into that, reach out. Yeah. That's cool. Not like we're going to become rich with the angry and ineffective brand, but I think there's a lot of people who resonate with the idea of being considered angry and effective. Own it as a badge, my friends. Susan writes, story of my life, angry and ineffective. Need the shirt too.
There you go.
Series writes, historically people from the quilt bag communities, I don't know what that is, I'm going to have to look that up, were originally welcomed as spiritual sages in places that embraced gender diversity. There's a lot of what we'd call queering now around different spiritual figures, even like, not even just, yeah, I could go off on that for a long time, but there is something about people who are seen as shamanic, prophetic, sages, different kinds of spiritual traditions where there's a sort of strangeness to them, of blurring of distinctions that it was required to perceive things differently. So like, there's a lot to that. And again, there's a reason why Western societies today don't like that.
Right.
Generally speaking.
Yeah.
Oh, we already got that one. Al writes, if you're not angry, you're not paying attention. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of truth to that too. James writes, the weird thing is that anger is pretty effective. If you think back to 2016, Trump won because he tapped into a sense of anger that people had.
Yeah, white people maybe had.
Okay, yeah. Or even like with Bernie Sanders, I mean, tapping in anger. That was one of the criticisms for him. And it's like, well,
right.
You can disagree with Bernie Sanders and say he's not a great guy, whatever. But like the things he was getting all bent out of shape about are all things worth getting bent out of shape about. Susan writes, call BS. Anger is a stage of grief. That's good. I'm glad you're pointing out the connection between grief and anger. Those two we have to think about them together, I think. And Jesus reportedly got angry. It's good enough for me, for sure. Kathleen writes, as a UMC, United Methodist Church pastor, I was labeled as ineffective and was forced to retire 1 year early. Then I did get angry, very angry. Now I'm embracing the fact that I valued spiritual transformation over money and butts in the pews. I'm still angry, but it feels like a good anger.
Yeah. So, this is one of the things about anger that that I teach people and talk about all the time is that anger actually contains an incredible amount of intelligence, and that. That anger as an emotion arises because there is something going on to us or around us in the world that we are seeing that we're somehow not addressing or responding to, and this is this natural intelligence that arises in us that to get our attention, and that as an emotion, again, it's just an emotion, like emotions are sort of value neutral. But the question then becomes, what do we do with that? And how do we relate to that? And if we're told it's bad, and so we're trying to suppress it or trying to avoid it or trying to, we just can't deal with it until we act out, right? Like, that's a big Minnesotan thing. People are passive aggressive until they can't take it anymore, and then they just completely lose their shit. That's a very unskillful use of the emotion. And on the other hand, if we accept it as any other emotion, and if we befriend it, and then we begin to ask ourselves, like, where is the intelligence in this? Mm-hmm. Then it becomes a very powerful ally. And again, this is one of the reasons, as you said, that, our Western capitalist society doesn't like this, because it doesn't want people waking up to the dehumanization that's going on and waking up to the oppression that's going on. And it just wants us to stay very passive.
Shell writes, anger is better than numbness. No. Well, and that's, I know Walter Brueggemann and lots of other people talk about this too. It's just Brueggemann's the one who comes to mind, talking about how our society needs apathy and numbness to function. And really, some people might be listening and thinking, well, no, wait, our society loves anger. Look at John Wick and all these. There's the anger of you're taking my stuff and I need to reassert my ownership. Anger is considered good. So that's the anger that seems more appropriate in our society, like gun-toting anger.
Right.
And what that is like a sort of self-serving, dominant anger rather than the anger that's like whose street our street's anger. So uppity anger is what our society doesn't like. That kind of that scene is like whiny children. Like, that's why you see if you watch Fox News, gun toters are good guys protecting us from bad guys, but then Black Lives Matter protesters are like children or animals, and it has to do with like the morality, perceived morality of that anger. CK writes, it seems that from a political point of view, the Republicans are angry and Democrats are ineffective. I'm not going to argue too much with that. Okay. AL writes, quilt bag just rearranges.
And adds some vowels.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I've never heard of that.
Okay. No.
I'm learning stuff. I'm a baby.
So LGBTQ is sort of like the Hebrew version of quilt bag. It doesn't have vowels. Quilt you bag. Rearrange it and add some vowels.
Yeah. I want there to be, I'm just thinking of what you can stand for. I want every letter in there to mean something.
Yeah. Right.
Undecided. I can understand that. Jonathan writes, Paul's cussy mission statement, count all dung, scubala, shit. To win the gold of the anointed. Yeah, like the Apostle Paul used some cuss language, and it's harsh sometimes. Jesus, gold standard of anger. CK writes or asks, what is the separation between anger and righteous indignation? I mean, this points to a bigger question. Like, his anger isn't just one emotion either. Like, oh, right. I feel like we always lack language for some of this stuff. Anger is a whole plethora of things. And to me, righteous indignation is a type of moral disgust. Indignation is kind of a disgust feeling towards someone violating something sacred. Mm-hmm. That's how I would think about a righteous indignation. And so that's a particular kind of disgusted anger out of moral infraction or violence.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. Carol writes, again, this is another way of thinking about anger, but underneath anger is fear. I don't know if that's always true, but largely true. Maybe anger gives voice safely, effectively to fear. And again, there's different kinds of fear.
Yeah. Yeah. And so sometimes our anger appears because, we feel under threat, or the ego feels under threat. Mm-hmm. And so then we get angry and lash out at things. And again, at that point, the intelligence is that's arising can teach us a lot about ourselves and our hopes and fears. But yeah, as you know, you're saying, Ash, the issue is, you know, sometimes I talk about the fact that, you know, in our society, when we think about feelings, we maybe have like two feelings, right? Or maybe just one, like I'm fine. Like that's the only feeling that we have. Or maybe we have happy and angry, like those are the only two feelings. Yeah. There are a lot more feelings. And I think that's part of all of this as well, is that, you know, when we're told that so many feelings are not okay, we just, you know, as you said, we just end up like numbing ourselves out, which is one of the reasons that people get depressed, right? So you suppress all of your feelings all the time. You're suppressing your life energy all the time. And that's depressing. So what's good is to kind of let all this out and start examining all of it and seeing that there's a great multiplicity of feelings and sources for feelings.
Well, and then if you stifle anger, it comes out in strange ways, which can explain toxic masculinity largely with even just that. There's a sort of sense of impotent rage. Some of it's very justified. Like, you know, there's reasons to be upset, but you're told it's supposed to look a certain way and then you're supposed to act a certain way. And to me, this connects back to queerness. Like, if you're supposed to be a certain way, and you're supposed to stifle things and conform, but you can't, then it comes out in weird sideways. Ceres writes, anger traditionally is correlated with the element of fire. Fire correlates with transformation and releasing things that are not of service to our fullness. Mm-hmm. It's a great way of thinking about it because, you know, again, Dan's talking about intelligence. Another way we could think about it externally is like, well, what is this anger asking to be transformed? Like, what needs to change? What am I discontent with here that needs to be changed? And instead of saying, oh, anger's bad, I'm going to stifle it, saying like, and this is maybe challenges the ineffective thing a little bit, but like, what can I do? Mm-hmm. What am I wanting to have happen? And this is where discernment comes in as a practice. Discernment as a spiritual practice is often about going deeper into our own desire. Like, what is it I actually want? And most of the time, I don't think most people know what they want in any given moment. And that's why.
Or they do know it, but they're not wanting to admit it.
Or they know it at some level, but not other. Yeah. And so this idea of transforming and releasing, what is it that our anger is asking to be transformed or to be released, is a great, and again, if we don't allow anger into discernment, we miss out on that. And then it becomes about positive vibes only, which I, you know, like, and so then we're like half people. We're not really living into the fullness of what our anger is wanting to see in the world. Susan writes, it's sad that those whose anger Trump tapped to get him elected haven't explored the two roots of the stuff that they feel angry about. Yes, yes, yes. Misplaced anger is pretty ineffective, or it's effective in a horrific and bad way.
Right, right. It can be very effective in a very negative way. Right. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and so you know, any feeling, right, can be channeled in all sorts of different directions. And because these feelings are part of our life energy. And so if we look at them as energy, and we're just relating to that energy from the perspective of our ego, from the perspective of egolessness, from the perspective of our habits, from the perspective of God, right? There's all kinds of ways to relate to all of this energy that is flowing in and through and around us. And yeah, that can be channeled, you know, for good or for not so good, for sure.
Sure. David writes, and we, the West, have false dichotomy between, feelings and rationality. We say, if you're too emotional, then you're not thinking. Now,
right. Yeah.
This is a whole other, we could spend hours on this one. Because to me, feelings and emotions are a type of ration, like it's a type of logic in a way, like and then it's really the worst part of this is like dudes and some usually white dudes
not well, I was gonna say this is sort of peak whiteness, right?
Yeah, this idea
the rational white man dispensing knowledge and the correct point of view.
If you sit and talk to one of these insistent mansplaining white men, of which I've partaken, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Oftentimes, there's all sorts of feelings that are just not being looked at. And so you get like someone like Dennis Prager, who lifts himself up as the epitome of logic. He's not aware of all the just dominating fears and anxieties driving all this toxic shit. So, yeah. Al writes, some of us rad activist-y folks are gun-toters too. That's true. I had a particular sort of gun toter in my mind, and I don't want to step into the whole gun conversation because that's another big one. But yes, there is the tradition of like more what people think of as more Black Panther style gun toting, which is very different than the militia in rural Minnesota type gun toters, which is more what I was thinking about. Tyler writes, I feel like the mainstream news and mainstream online media in general does a great job at making people angry, but in an ineffective way. You know, talking about media manipulation, that's a big one. It further separates people into their tribes and pits them against each other. I think that's part of it. And it's also like this mislabeling of the problem. Media does a lot too and gets us angry at that, especially around moral. Like the stories are very effective. And for stories to really be clear, we usually tell stories about individuals, and so it becomes an anecdotal, interpersonal story that doesn't pay attention to systemic stuff. So usually, instead of being angry at systems like we ought to be, I think, we get angry at individuals. So angry at Jeff Bezos going into space, not angry at capitalism is a good example of that. Although you can be angry at Jeff Bezos too. It's not an
or. Right. Well, and again, this issue of, you know, channeling of emotions, if we're not used to paying attention to our emotions, then it's very easy. You know, we have an emotion and we're overwhelmed by it and we're trying to find something for it to glom onto. And yeah, if somebody comes along and tells you, well, glom onto this, and you're just like, okay. and yeah, that may or may not have any connection with where things are really coming from, right? Then, you know, we're seeing this all the time.
Don writes, anger is a response to a variety of issues. Loss and or fear, fight or flight are two possible underlying causes. Fear of loss of privilege, fear of lack. Mm-hmm. James writes, you never nail anything to a door or take a stand unless you are angry about the way things are.
Yep.
And again, this is the intelligence thing. A lot of anger. One of the ways that this angry and effective thing comes out is when someone says, I can see what you're against. Tell me what you're for. And so there's this idea that somehow people in the streets being angry is just negative. You don't go to the streets unless you love somebody. Like, that's just, that's the part that gets missed. Like, Black Lives Matter being about anger is like, well, it's about loving Black people. Like, that's, and it causes anger. So again, it's this taking a stand against evil. But if you don't think it's evil, then the person is just angry and ineffective. That's kind of how that looks. Catherine writes, regarding vowels, I and A already have meaning in the current more commonly used acronym, intersex and asexual. Yes.
Yeah.
And I want to know what U stands for. If we're going to go with quilt bags, I know you have to have a U after a Q in our language generally. We need to find the U. Maybe
find the U.
Maybe you.
It's you.
Yeah, maybe there's like, yeah. Okay. Gus writes, I think there's something to be said about pointing out how anger is also the only anger that folks socialize as male are free to have in public. Yeah, that's a fair point, mm-hmm. because it's not like anger is just like this great thing in every case. The pop culture detective on YouTube, thank you, librarian Gus, has a nice video recently on male crying in film and TV. It was great.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting how men in our society are generally told they have to be calmly rational and that they can get angry. Those are the two things. So that just creates a lot of a pressure and explosion.
Yeah.
And so that's where you get violent, like a lot of toxic masculine violence.
Well, we're over time. We've got a lot of comments.
We're going to blaze through these.
God's anger. Oh, you know what? Let's leave that for Wednesday and or Friday.
Yeah, we got to talk about God's anger and wrath and that sort of thing for sure.
It's
important. Thanks for bringing that up. CK writes, Victoria and I teach our children it's okay to be angry, but know why. I love that because it's saying anger's cool, but let's do some digging. Let's discern and then ask, like, what's the best way to express this anger? And I'd never learned that at all. And I have a son who's grappling with all sorts of mental health challenges. And I'm finding myself like, I never learned from other, like, as a kid, these sorts of things that you're talking about as a parent there. And so I find myself like wishing I had so that I'd be a better parent. There's a lot of this stuff going around. And I'm glad that that's the approach you take. And I wish you were my dad, CK. Gus writes, oh, oops, the only feeling that folks...
We got that.
David writes, and we, the West, have this false dichotomy between feelings and rationality. We say, if you're too emotional, you're not thinking and I won't listen.
Yeah.
For sure. Cheryl writes, trauma is suppressed anger, is what I understand from Gabor Mate. I think that's close enough to how I know who you're talking about.
It's spelled, I mean, the trauma response, I mean, suppressed anger is definitely a part of that, for sure.
AL's coming through. U is unlabeled, but could be undecided too. Yes! I is intersex, A is allied, and ace or ILO. And I know the allied one is contentious with whether or not allies get included in the quilt bag. Asexual or aromantic or allosexual or romantic. So I'm glad that U has, unlabeled or undecided is good. I like that. Thank you for helping me understand what that is. Susan writes, at various times in the past, when I've been very angry and grieving about a clear course for channeling the energy, I ran and I walked until I was exhausted, healthier than some outlets I've practiced.
That's great.
The body piece to it too. Like, if you're just kind of holding it in, anger turned inward is like really unhealthy. And so at the very least, finding ways to express it, even if we don't know, taking a walk. I mean, that's been very helpful for me.
Yeah, so getting into your body.
Yeah. And sometimes that's the way you figure out what you're feeling. Like, what the why comes from, like, engaging your body. And that's something that, again, in the West is not really thought of very much. Jonathan writes, watercolor painting is a great way to tap any emotion. It's so fluid, it gets us out of the head. Again, body, like art is an embodied experience.
Yeah.
Great comments. Ellen writes, Audre Lorde said, I speak out of direct and particular anger. And a white woman says, tell me how you feel, but don't say it too harshly or I cannot hear you. But it is my manner that keeps her from hearing, or the threat of a message that her life may change.
That's a great quote.
That's good. Thank you. AL writes, ugh, hate that positive vibes only and targeted tongue policing. Anger is necessary and valid emotion. It is usually more privileged folks telling others not to have whatever feeling. P.S. Sorry, the comments are still leaking. I mean, there's weird. All the comments come out in some weird order and lagging because it's coming from multiple sources. And so we're, that's great. So that's, everything's great. CK writes, I mean, for fuck's sake, there's so, and this is the thing. Is it for fuck's sake? Is it for fuck's sake? Is there an apostrophe in the at fucks? These are the deep questions that I want to know the answers to. For fuck's sake, is there is so much going on in the world that is antithetical to life. It's hard not to be angry.
Yes.
James Matichuk writes, undecided.
I don't know. For you. Oh, for you.
Yeah, for you. Yeah. I'm wondering if So again, I don't know what order this really came in. It seems like undecided is decided. Ellen writes, queer and questioning, unsure, intersex, lesbian, transgender, and two-spirit, bisexual, asexual, and aromantic, and gay, and genderqueer. Again, more on the quilt bag.
Quilt bag. Got it.
Angel writes, saludos from Germany. You're in Germany right now?
Yeah.
You get around.
Man. Yeah. Get around.
So happy to see you both after so long. I can't help but think of Mr. Rogers' approach to anger and the importance of to channeling it out. I don't know. I'd love to hear more about that. And I know Angel loves Mr. Rogers. A lot of people do. He doesn't seem like he gets angry, Mr. Rogers, but he does seem like he knows how to talk about it for sure. Scott writes, great to see y'all. The idea of anger as a phase is probably unhelpful. This stuff isn't linear, but the phase concept makes it seem as if anger is an immature, childish response to evil.
Yeah, I don't think anger is a phase.
No, it could be part of a process. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's a better way of thinking about it than a phase. Scott, it's for fuck's sake. For fuck's sake. Stay angry, comrades. Whoa, calm down.
Whoa.
Right. It's not undecided because it's not a choice. Oh, wow. This is... Okay. I think my undecided, like my feelings of undecidedness have to be like, I don't know where I'm going to land on this thing. So it's, but yeah, I like the way you're pushing back on that. I'll see you doing my religious studies master's out here.
Wow.
Okay. Eat lots of crepes. I remember having sausages. Crepes all the time when I was in Germany, sausages, muesli for breakfast. Gus writes, for fuck's sake. Oh my God, you guys are just ruining.
the grammar police are working hard.
It's the possession of multiple it's great. Fucks is for
multiple
fucks.
Yeah, for, oh, wait a minute. The fucks aren't it's on the outside now.
Yeah, so it's oh for fucks' sake. Almost.
Fucks, like many. Okay.
The myriad of fucks. For their sake, we must be angry. And then CK's like, I don't need no fucking S. This is just, there's so much rage here right now. I don't know what to do. Last two comments, and then we're just going to close this down. Don writes, Buddhism's depiction of anger as negative has always been a challenge to my enlightened Western understanding.
We'd have to talk about that. Many of my Buddhist teachers have not seen anger as negative, so, but I'm sure there's different threads on that.
And I'll write, said Mr. Rogers stressed on the importance of finding productive ways of channeling our anger, and he emphasized that children should never feel bad about feeling angry. It's what we do with our anger. Yes, again, it seems like a good approach with children. David writes, I think too about neurodiverse individuals who may not have access to their emotions, or different access at least, or not have them at all, and how sometimes they are disregarded by movements because they don't have all that anger. Victoria, fuck, just wanted to be a part. you don't want your hubby having all the fucks. Don writes, cool. Sources? We're going to have to take this conversation. Don. But yeah, that's an interesting one about spirituality. And I'm assuming Wednesday or Friday we'll talk about spirituality, wrath, God, anger, more on the spiritual side of things.
Yep.
And then at some point this week we want to talk about what does constructive, generative anger look like as a creative source?
So how can you effectively and ineffectively use anger?
And also,
or ineffectively, effectively, one or the other.
And it's angry and ineffective. So we're going to have to talk about what effectiveness even means somewhere this week. Lots of stuff. And the conversations today were great. It's been good to see everyone.
Yeah, it's so great to see everybody. Thank you so much. It was really fun. And we'll see you on Wednesday. Fuck yeah.
See you, everybody. Bye.